WSBC. Welcome back to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. This show is presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal and personal injury attorney Jim McGing. My name's Paddy Houlihan. I will be your host all hour. Joining me, as always, to my left, twin brother Billy.
Hey, what's up?
And to the left of him, the greatest person in the world, Mr. Clayton O'Brien. Clay, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome back, everybody. We're still in this COVID thing. I dare I say, what week, maybe?
12.
12.
Thank you for saying such, because I was about to say 11.
Oh, my.
But we're in it, and it looks like the
eagle's here to stay.
I guess. I was going to I don't know. I'm not sure I can decipher the meaning of that. But that would be a great way to open the press conference tomorrow for, you know.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the eagle is here to stay. Yeah. Any questions?
Didn't have an actual eagle present.
Right. Perched on your shoulder while you speak of COVID. Right. One other retail store is going to open again. You heard the eagle. Nothing more American than that.
Right.
Now go home and get in your house and hunker down. But it does look like sort of, I guess, the sea is parting a bit here.
It's looking better.
We'll see, yeah.
We'll see. I'm excited for
I'm going
for
back
it.
To work for this weekend.
All right.
So, to bartend.
Nice.
Not to my full-time job, but, you know.
Do what you can.
Right.
Do what I can do.
It'll be interesting to see people and sort of have conversations with them again, you know, to be able to interact with society.
Sure, absolutely.
And sort of that'll be the real gauge, I think, of where people's heads are and truly, I guess, how divided we are as a country. Because it seems to be getting worse and worse every day here. The warm weather is making me at much more ease, you know, and you can go, at least we're going outside and sitting out on our decks.
I wish I could say for the city of Chicago
over
the past weekend.
Yeah, it's making people
crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, so we did have, it was Memorial Day weekend here in Chicago this past Sunday and Monday, and we had one of the most violent weekends we've had in history here in the city.
Yeah,
which is extremely troubling.
Yeah.
Perhaps if we had just pumped a little Pet Shop Boys into the soundtrack of the city.
Yeah, I know.
Things could have changed.
Or Yaz.
Or Yaz. Last week we listened to, Bill called me last week, listeners. If you go back, you can find archived episodes of this show at iTunes.
Yeah.
But Bill had called us and was curious to know what the lyrics were to a Pet Shop Boys song.
Right, right.
And tonight when we came in, Clay said that he had heard some Pet Shop Boys during the week. And it brightened his day. And now he brings in Yaz.
Fell into some Yaz accidentally today.
Yes. Yeah. So
it
we'll
felt good.
We're already a few minutes into the show, and we're just teasing with Yaz.
Teasing with Yaz.
Yeah. Where has it gone? Clay, you've got some Chinese Air Jordan shoes.
Hold on. Before we get into that, you were saying Yaz, right?
Yes.
And all I can think of is when I hear you, other than Carl Yastrzemski, you know, is the fact that, do you remember the character, the guy in
Degrassi?
Mark Borchardt's American movie, Yaz?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I know him
He
well.
Just popped into my head, Yaz.
I know him with his glasses.
So anybody that's seen Mark Borchardt's American movie, you know who Yaz is.
You should see that movie. That's a good movie to see.
Yeah.
During,
shout out to you, Mark Borchardt. Hope you're doing well during all this.
During the quarantine.
Yeah. That's right. I do follow Mark Borchardt on Facebook. I think we've mentioned him quite a bit. But if you are an aspiring filmmaker, no better movie to ever watch than American Movie.
Yes.
Directed by Chris Smith. And it depicts the story of Mark Borchardt, a sort of down and out and up, you know, hustler, maverick auteur that lives
now,
in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin.
Correct? Am I correct or am I wrong? I don't know. Did Chris Smith do Tiger King?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. So this is one of Chris Smith's first films.
Sure.
So I'll tell you the truth.
Yes.
Looking back on it.
Now let's go see American Movie. Also, Clay.
Let's talk about my shirt.
You have, last week we discussed back-to-back t-shirts.
We did.
Due to the Chicago Bulls documentary that came out on ESPN. What was it called, Bill?
The Last Dance.
We've touched on it quite a bit during this show. We did speak that Bulls merchandise is coming back and making a very big resurgence. And Clay, you brought up the back-to-back t-shirts that were so popular here in the 90s. And tonight you are wearing one.
I am indeed.
You have procured the one that we have spoken about.
Yes, I have.
And you also have Air Jordans on tonight as
I do.
Well. You look like you are a pizza delivery driver from 1994.
That's what I want to look like.
Well, you've hit it.
I know.
Tell me about these Chinese Jordans. We call them Chinese Jordans.
I got news for you.
Yeah.
All Jordans are Chinese.
I know. So that's the irony in the whole thing. You found these. What version are those of Air Jordan?
I think these are the sixth year of the Jordan productions.
And Mike had a name for them when we came in. Mike, what's the name?
The Black Cat.
The Black Cat.
Mm. That was also Reggie Miller's nickname for Jordan.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And was that around the time that he was having his sort of feud with the Pacers? And remember that
correct.
Time? Okay. And then that's when Jordan was wearing those shoes, the Black Cats.
Right, right.
I don't know, because I thought the feud with the Pacers wasn't until the 96, 97, 98 seasons. You're talking about these Jordans were probably, they were in, I think they were the ones that he wore in the finals against the Lakers.
Okay.
So.
So we're
we can't
wrong.
Keep track of all the Jordans floating around.
Yeah. Getting back to it, I call them Chinese Jordans because you obviously have procured and found a website that has these shoes that where they're not 140. Does it say right up front like these are not authentic Michael Air Jordan shoes?
No.
So what how do you know they're not? Does it take 3 weeks to get them in the mail?
It takes 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta go through customs, you know. It's a process.
I'm sure they're made in a very similar way with the same materials.
Right.
But they're not sanctioned by Nike to be made.
Okay, so they're counterfeit Jordans, essentially.
Possibly.
Possible counterfeit Jordans.
But could be.
I could never tell. And the first thing you said to me when we got out of the car, I go, those are beautiful. You go, yeah, they're Chinese Jordans, and no one ever knows. And you go, they smell just like the real ones did when they came out of the box. Like, you still remember, it's the amazing thing that you remember the scent of what Jordans smelled.
It brought
like.
Me back to, like, the locker room at St. Luke's.
Right. And when you first got them, you'd smell them a lot?
I would smell
them.
They
do. A lot. You're right.
Yeah, look at this. Mike's got this pulled up right now. It's $351 for a pair of these things if you're getting them real.
That's on StockX. Have you ever seen that website, Bill?
Yeah.
That's
if
you're a sneakerhead. People buy shoes and collect them and trade them, and there's brokers on there. It's crazy.
That's correct.
I know a guy who actually had a business where he made money on that website because he was a shoehead, sneakerhead.
Yeah.
Shoehead, sneakerhead.
Yo, my son, he's a real sneaker shoehead, but he's getting the wrangle of things. Real entrepreneur.
He's a shoehead.
He's got a couple thousand pairs of Chinese Jordans. He's been flipping them.
Yeah, so it's a little, strictly out of boredom during the pandemic that I'm purchasing.
There's a lot of that, yeah.
Purchasing all these things.
I can imagine you're getting a lot of compliments. Are people like, whoa, look
nobody's
at those.
I haven't seen anyone.
No, that's true. So you're just walking around looking in the mirror.
Do you still glancing
at them? Are you jumping? Are
you, have
jump
you found
shots
yourself
in my mirror?
Licking your finger and putting it on, like on a scuff mark or anything like that?
I haven't even worn it. I've only worn them once.
Okay. Bill, do you remember when we were kids, guys who used to Windex their Jordans?
Hell yeah.
Billy was one of them.
Bill, would you
have did you used to Windex? Did you used to iron your dollar bills too?
I may have done that once too, I believe.
Such a kid thing to do when
we
you
had
first
a buddy,
get money.
Mikey Bobek. I love you, Mikey Bobek.
Yeah.
He used to iron his bills.
He would. He knew what was up.
He had the Christmas bills on the block, that kid.
Uh-huh.
When he walked into mobile, it was as you could hear him. You could hear him
to
come
get
out
that
of his
pack
pocket.
Of smoke.
It was like, shving, it was like a switchblade.
Bill, you had a pair of flight lights, I think they were called, the Nike Air Flight Light.
I think they were called
talking about the shoes we had.
Yes. Very intricate part of our childhood, these shoes. It's kind of a shoe episode.
What's the most embarrassing pair of shoes you had? I remember my mom bought me a pair of Zips.
Oh.
Which were like kids' shoes like 5-year-olds would wear, but I was like 14 or 15.
Yeah.
She's like, I got you these Zips. You got to wear them. I'm like, all right. And I did.
They had the Velcro?
They did have the Velcro.
I look back in some of the shoes that I had. I had the Nike Dion, the first Dion Sanders shoe in black and gold.
Flashy.
Very gaudy for a very gawky 13-year-old white kid to be knocking around. And I had real big feet.
Yeah.
At that age. Yeah, but my body filled out, and proportionally, I don't look as freakish as I did when I was gawky and, lanky as hell like that.
When you weighed 90 pounds.
Exactly.
Your feet weighed 40 pounds.
Yeah. And I see myself in shoes, and it's the first thing you notice. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And I guess all the other kids in the neighborhood thought I was cool for having them too.
You were cool.
But they weren't Chinese. They were the real deal, you know?
No.
I'll take my solo flights any day. I also had the Pippins.
But Bill, getting back, I remember you Windexing. When you got these shoes, they were like the biggest prize ever. It was like the first $100 pair of shoes that I think mom or dad ever like splurged on. Mm-hmm. You were having a very good season, seventh grade basketball. Mm-hmm. And you were able to procure these flight lights. And you treated these like they were a Ferrari. Like
they were after my wheels.
After practice, when you got home, you got the Windex out, sprayed it on a cloth, and slowly dabbed the suede to get the dirt off of them.
That's correct.
Yep. And would wash the bottoms of them.
Yep. So that they would still have their clear look on the bottom.
Yeah.
They wouldn't get too yellowed out.
There was too much slipping and sliding going on.
Right.
On grade school basketball courts.
Yeah, true.
I must say.
Yeah. But yes, those were some fond memories and some special times. Thank you.
Slipping and sliding on the grammar school courts.
Slipping and sliding on the grammar school court was where it was at, my friend.
That's a lyric of some kind. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
Basketball shoe. Musical.
We could do
shoes.
That. But you know what? Before we write a musical or anything like that, and before anybody wants to think that they're... prevent slipping and sliding on a basketball court.
Yeah, the first thing you have to do is have oatmeal
in
the morning.
Come on.
McCann's Irish oatmeal.
Even if it's 80 degrees out.
Yeah, have it.
Especially.
Especially. And it's, you know, an elixir of life, and it'll prevent you from disease and harm. And
sprained ankles.
Sprained ankles, too. It is McCann's Irish oatmeal. Yep. This show is presented by it. More Hoolies Hoolie after these.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
If you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer. Call a judge. Former supervising judge James McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits. Jim represents first responders, and he formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He was an assistant state's attorney, and he was legal counsel to the Cook County Sheriff. As a judge, he presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm, 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. You can get a hold of Jim at 773-467-8000. That's 773-467-8000. Give him a call. He's an old pal.
There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spent a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian Radio Show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
If you're looking for an office in the loop, you got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back.
Yes.
Second quarter.
Yep.
We were talking before the break.
Yeah.
We were.
Well, during the break, I should
I hope we were talking.
About the golf this past weekend.
That's right. Bill, last episode we touched a little bit about the celebrity match that was going to go down between Tiger and Tom Brady and Mickelson and Peyton. Yes. I did not watch it.
I didn't either.
Great TV.
Was it?
Great TV. Some of the best TV I've seen in a while, to tell you the truth, during all of this.
Okay. Nice escape for everybody.
Well, it was cool to watch them get, like, they would get, like, pointers, and they'd be like, tell me about my lie, and then, like, Mickelson would be like, oh, you're, like, right here, like... You know, yeah. Normally you'd never see that because it's just Mickelson and talking to his caddy, but now
right. It was almost nice.
It was like Mickelson, even though he was the pro and Tiger was the pro, it was like they were like the caddies for Brady and like Manning, like he didn't hear like this. But it was also to show what incredible athletes that Brady are. Yeah. And, you know, even afterwards we were watching it and they were all standing together. Mm-hmm. Mickelson and Tiger are
huge.
They're huge.
I know. Yeah.
They are not small guys. Because you're like, okay, Brady and Manning got to be like 6'5", 6'6".
Easy.
One of, I think Brady's 6'4".
All right.
Manning's at least 6'6".
Right.
So you'd figure that Tiger's at least like 6'3", or 6'2".
The height of athletes.
But, yes. I don't know, it was so much fun to watch. And, you know, it looked like in the beginning of it that Peyton and Tiger were going to run away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brady and Mickelson made a comeback.
Yeah.
And it literally came down to one stroke on the final hole, which made it just great television.
Sure.
The fact that, and they were playing for charity, all the money they had raised. I think it was like...
$20 million.
$20 million bucks. Yeah. But there was a shot that Brady hit where Charles Barkley was talking smack to him that might have been some of the best live sports television
I've
seen.
Yeah, I saw highlights of this. That's the one viral moment of the whole thing that I kind of picked up on. Frankly, I just missed it. I cut out TV, so I cut the cord. So I don't even watch network TV anymore. It's just, everything is streaming, Netflix or YouTube TV or something, you know.
Okay.
So I forgot about it, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the one viral moment that I sort of saw on my feed moments after the tournament was over that everybody started retweeting was there was an exchange between Barkley and Brady. What happened?
Well, it was just funny jabber. It wasn't like Barkley was, I mean, he was talking trash to Brady a little bit because Brady hit a bad shot off the tee.
Okay.
And Brady.
But Barkley was the commentator for the whole thing?
He was one of them, and I think, I don't know who the other one was. It wasn't Jim Nantz.
All right.
It was it was TBS and TNT put it on, so it was Turner Sports.
Sure, they paid.
So I don't know who the other announcer was. I should know this because I watched the whole thing. But
okay,
they also had a thing where Barkley, like to raise charity, he had to I think he had to bogey a hole, like a certain hole he had to bogey it. If he got bogey on it, because people say he's a terrible golfer, he didn't look too bad. Tell you the truth,
who didn't look bad?
Barkley. Like they had a thing at the end of the Brady at the end of their skins patch.
Okay,
they did another like you got like another. Four minutes.
Barkley out there like play some terrible golf. No,
it had been pre-recorded, but you got to watch Barkley.
Right.
Do the, you know, a bogey challenge, which was a pretty entertaining as well. And he had, like, you know, a professional golfer helping him out and trying to show him where the lies were.
That's cool.
But, yeah, it was fun. I hope they do something like this again because it was a lot of fun to watch.
But what was the moment that so Barkley made a jab to Brady while he was commentating? So Brady could probably obviously Barkley's in his ear.
No, they had earpieces in. You could hear, yeah, while they were playing. So they you could hear them talking to each other.
Wait a second. It looks like Mike has it pulled up. Is this it?
Oh,
go in!
Yeah!
Goodness!
Oh, you made it!
Wow!
Take a suck of that, Chuck.
Take a suck of that, Chuck, is what Brady says.
Yeah.
Okay. And was that so? Obviously, Barkley had been bun wrapping Brady's game,
just teasing him through the broadcast, you know. And since they were losing, Brady was real quiet because he had no room to really talk smack because he wasn't playing very well yet. And then that was like pretty much that was the shot that woke him up because they ended up coming back. But yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, hope they do it again.
What do you do something else like have Jordan play?
It was
magic
the highest ratings ever for a cable golf match.
Did you say Jordan should play magic in tennis?
Yes. Doubles.
Jordan and Roger Federer versus
Nadal and Magic.
Nadal and Magic.
McEnroe can be the judge.
Dude, that would be sick.
Why not?
I would love
amazing.
That.
Yeah,
Jordan
awesome.
Would never get on a tennis court.
Jordan had a cigar in his mouth the whole time.
Jordan would absolutely get on a tennis
Jordan
court because
dominate.
He could sell more shoes. You imagine like the Air Jordan tennis shoes?
As soon as they score on Jordan, he's going to like rip off his shirt and go nuts.
Yeah, but Jordan played baseball. I think he's used to the speed of that, you know?
He's used to the swing motion.
Yeah, and those tennis balls are coming at you 100 miles an hour. Magic Johnson, on the other hand, struggled.
He'd be doing it between his legs, behind his back.
Spinning the racket on his finger.
Be amazing.
Coming up to the net like he's doing an old finger roll.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Let's organize it.
I think that's a great idea. Now, what do we
do? Blagojevich involved somehow.
Sure.
He'd be a ball boy. He'll be a ball boy.
He's got his own podcast now.
Hey, Rod, you want to be a ball boy for a celebrity tennis match?
No, man. Rod's going on, what, Cumulus Media? Is that who hired him? I think so. I think Marv Nirin hired him over at.
I believe so. Yeah, he has his own podcast coming out soon. I don't know when, but.
Wow.
Yeah. In Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome
he was disbarred, but he lost his law license, but now he's on the radio.
Why not?
Yeah.
God bless.
I think that actually he could have a big career in radio, truly. It might be a very engaging show, you know, if he has a sense of humor about himself, you know. And I think he does. I think he understands that he's a media celebrity at this point, and that's his angle. You know.
He's Jerry Springer.
Didn't hurt Trump. You know what I mean?
Like,
it's the same ideology, you know? Blago could become a huge star here in Chicago and all could be forgiven and he'll be running for mayor in 5 years.
He could be emperor of the world, shortly.
From Governor Blago to mayor. I don't think he can ever run for office ever again.
No, though. He can't.
I don't think he can be an emperor either.
He could be emperor.
Emperor Blagojevich.
Emperor of what?
Of Earth.
Interesting.
Hey, speaking of Earth.
He's the Earth Emperor.
Did they launch that rocket today or what?
No, they didn't.
What happened?
Are we in the basement of the CTA right now? Speaking of Earth, they launched that rocket yet?
They put those boys up in space yet or what?
Who launch the rocket?
Elon Musk is shooting a couple guys up in space.
They delayed it because of weather. Yeah, it got rained out today.
First time astronauts have been in 10 years.
Up there.
In the atmosphere.
From the United States.
Yeah.
Wow, I had no idea.
Start watching the news.
Well, the only news story that I'm really interested in.
But it's not NASA doing it. It's a private company. It's Musk and his cronies.
Yeah, SpaceX.
Yeah.
Musk, man. Musk is turning into Howard Hughes. Clay, you made a crack about Howard Hughes while we were walking in earlier. You said my new white gym shoes look like something Howard Hughes might wear.
Yeah, they are.
Thank you.
He would wear them with a suit, though.
So what
he was notorious for that.
That's why I bought these. I wanted to get them for their like dress sneakers.
Dress sneakers?
Where are all my dress sneakers? We have to go to dinner. Yeah. I can't find my dress sneakers.
Elton John?
Yes. Just wear the Jordans, Elton. No!
Just wear the black cats, Elton.
Elton, quit bitching and put on the
but
black
I'm wearing
cats.
A pink tuxedo.
You're wearing a pink tuxedo, for Christ's sake.
I need my white Howard Hughes shoes.
Oh, boy.
Clay, I don't know if you've seen this.
I haven't.
It's not about Elton John, but people in Chicago, there's a South Side Cowboy.
South Side Cowboy. It's about time.
All right. Well, anyway, there's a
well,
guy.
Well, many could say that there were South Side Cowboys for years running up and down Western Avenue.
Sure, but this is a little different. There's a gentleman from the South Side of Chicago, an African-American gentleman, who has been riding a horse.
Saw this.
Through the hood. Okay?
That can't be safe.
And here's an article right here from Block Club Chicago. It says, this South Side Cowboy has become a viral video star during the pandemic.
What's his background in horsemanship?
It's coming. I'm gonna give you right now.
Is he an equestrian?
Yeah. Like,
well, Bill, he's from our old Mount Carmel stomping grounds, the Woodlawn neighborhood. So he's been seen all over Stony Island and 63rd Street, and you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, numerous viral videos in recent weeks have shown a cowboy riding through Chicago's neighborhoods. That cowboy is Adam Hollingsworth, who rides under the name Dreadhead Cowboy. When the temperatures rise above 55 degrees, he's likely to be riding his horse, Prince, through the streets of Chicago. He's been spotted near the courthouse on 26th and California, on 79th Street, and on 87th Street on the city's south side. The 33-year-old, who makes his living, Clay, as a boxer.
Nice.
All right. He learned how to ride from his uncle 2 years ago. He started doing it for attention, but the smiles he's seen from kids and adults on recent rides have convinced him to do more than just show off his horses. He started a GoFundMe with the goal of teaching Chicago inner city kids how to ride, groom, and care for a horse.
That's great.
If his $50,000 goal is met, he'll take his riding workshops across the Midwest.
Nice.
He's quoted as saying, a lot of people from my community have never seen a horse in real life, let alone been on top of one.
Have you ever been near a horse?
Now, I can't play the lyrics. Well, I can't play the cowboy lyrics. No, I can't play this video, the viral videos, because people have been snapping videos on their cell phone. And they're profanity laced because people
are amazed.
They're like, man, look.
So hold up.
Yeah.
I saw a video, which I sent you, of he rides up to like a stoplight, basically. And
he's on 63rd Street.
And he's riding a horse.
Yeah, he's in front of like a BP.
And then he stands up on the horse and does a backflip off of the horse.
Yes.
And you're telling me that this dude's only been riding a horse for 2 years?
I know. It's unbelievable. So everybody in the hood has been calling him Django. Like from Django Unchained. And he's taken on that mantra. And this is the kind of stuff that I love about our city, that characters of this ilk are born.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
That's amazing.
But he's also a boxer, a professional boxer, this guy. What a great ring entrance. Can you imagine if this guy's fighting
if
and
he
shows up
on
a horse and then backflips into the ring off of the horse?
Yeah.
It'd be unbelievable. But if you have any spare time,
can
check
you look
it out.
Up his boxing career? Let's see how many fights he's had. Is he a true boxer, or is he just saying he's a boxer?
I don't know, but there's well, this is what he said. There's more. He says, I don't care
if he's a boxer or not. The guy did a backflip off a horse.
Right.
I've never seen that before in my whole life. I've seen a lot of crazy things.
Well, he said this. This is an interesting point. He says, taking care of another animal can be therapeutic. He credits his horses for helping him to improve his own mental health and thinks that it could do the same for inner city kids.
Yes.
It's interesting. He says, I'm riding with a purpose now. I was down, depressed at rock bottom in November, December, and January. Mm. When I started going out to ride my horse in the neighborhoods, it uplifted me. He now lives in Crete, Illinois, but grew up a bad little kid at 62nd Street and Kimbark Avenue in Woodlawn.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Until 4 years ago, the only horses he'd ever seen were at the Bud Billiken Parade or police horses.
Wow. I'd like to know more. Where does he keep this horse?
I don't see, like...
Has this horse met Mick Jagger?
Wait a second. You mean there's a man in Chicago riding a horse? Does he sing the blues?
Basil. I know that horse. That was my horse, Basil. Wild horses couldn't drag me away.
Who's Basil?
That's his father's name.
Oh, that's right. Basil Jagger.
Correct.
Yeah, Basil had a horse.
Mick, stop backflipping off that horse. Get in here and write some songs.
Wow. This guy's cool,
Basil.
Man.
Yes, Basil.
Well, anyway, if you have any spare time when you're done
check
listening
out,
to this.
Yeah, Southside Cowboy.
Dreadhead Cowboy.
All right? Amazing.
It's probably,
we should try and get him on the show.
It's all over YouTube. We should. That'd be cool. He needs his own shoes. You know that?
Absolutely. He needs
well, let's work on
machine.
It. Let's design him.
You know what? Maybe Clay. Sorry, we just switched the channel to a different universe there for a minute. I wonder if this guy listens to Yaz at all.
Absolutely, he does.
Because it makes for a great song if you're riding on a horse through the hood. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. This should be his soundtrack.
Here it is. Yeah. We'll leave you with a little Yaz and we'll be back after these. We'll be right back.
Yes!
That'll get you pumped up.
Synthesizers.
Yeah, we were talking about Dreadhead Cowboy before the break, and we've Clay. You wanted to hear Yaz. You got your Yaz.
I needed synthesizer.
What you think about that, Yaz? I was saying this guy's a movie. Mike has a picture pulled
Southside
up.
Southside Cowboy.
Dreadhead Cowboy.
Yeah, right.
All right. He's got a bulletproof vest on. He likes riding his horse Prince. That's his favorite horse. How many horses does he have, Mike? Three? Four? Four horses, but Prince is his favorite.
He has a pony.
Yeah, as Bill yawns, I hope we're not making you tired.
He has a pony.
You forgot the pony.
He got a pony.
COVID's making you sleepy, huh?
It's making me a lot of things.
That horse should have a mask.
I'll tell you one thing. It's got COVID. I don't have COVID, but my car does.
Yes. Oh, what happened? Billy's got car problems.
I got it out of the shop last week, was running like a dream for 3 days, and then, shaking like crazy. I'm like, oh, no.
What happened?
I don't know. I had to,
Mary, make a pit stop?
Mary used it yesterday, and she's like, it's doing that again. I'm like, great. Just wonderful. I go, well, let me take it out for a spin. Yep, it's doing it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it's doing this?
Yeah, the
Sir, it's shaking like seems to be the problem with the car.
Here's the thing.
It's making the do-do-do-do-do-do's.
And you know what the thing is? You always try to diagnose your own car problems.
Yeah.
You're like online, you're reading up, you're like, oh, is it my transmission? Just like your health.
Like you get a headache
and you're wrong.
I have a brain tumor.
You're most likely wrong about, like, I'm freaking out. I'm thinking I have a transmission problem right now. And I'm thinking just because, but I haven't had any problems shifting gears or anything like that. I know I have never had a transmission flush on this car, by the way. If you own a newer car, I recommend getting transmission flushes every, 15,000 miles if you don't want your trans to blow out on you.
Right. Well, your car is like your teeth. It's a depreciating asset.
We've been over this. Yeah. We've been over this.
Al Pacino, yeah.
What about Pacino?
I think that Mike looked like my face looked like him while I was...
Yeah, you look like De Niro. Well, what you got to do with your car is change the transmission.
No, it's just
15,000 miles.
You could do that. I don't know what else. Make sure that you're taking care of it, like getting service probably.
When I do, I treat my car like it's like an antique, like it's a classic car.
Okay.
So you got a baby, right?
Yeah, you do. One of my big investments coming up is I'm going to pump a lot.
Get a Lincoln Town car.
Well, no, I'm getting my car. I need to get. And move to Palm Beach or something.
Get the same car that Paul Castellano died in.
It's an interesting thing to say to my wife.
What kind of car should we get next? I want to get the same car that Paul Castellano was assassinated in. Right outside Spark Steakhouse in New York City.
What year was that? 91?
Right. 91, maybe.
So it was like a 91 Lincoln, probably 90.
91.
You figure he's got a new car.
I thought it was a town car.
That's what a Lincoln is.
Anyway, Bill, I feel... Oh, yeah, you're right. Oops. Bill,
yes,
you mentioned the car problem, and you called me today, and you're like, oh, my car's on the fritz, you got to come pick me up for the show. And I said, okay, fine, I'll come out and get you.
Uh-huh.
But I did tell you, Hertz Rent-A-Car is like going out of business. Have you heard this, Clay?
Yeah, I have.
So
they're selling their fleet off.
I went and looked.
What are you going to get?
I went and looked. I wasn't too impressed with everything I saw.
Get one of those airport buses.
That'd be cool.
I'm buying a shuttle bus.
Yeah. Well, Clay, Mike just pulled up the picture that Paul cast.
That's a Lincoln. That's a town car.
Yeah, it is. That might be a Continental.
We got to find out.
I don't know.
We need the research department on that.
We'll have to call the FBI and ask them.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Speaking of which, Clay.
Ooh.
All right. I'm on the porch yesterday.
Oh, God.
At my house. And I go outside and I have the laptop in my hand and I'm having a little coffee and a cigarette on my back porch.
Very European of you.
Yes. Very COVID of me. And I sit down to make myself comfy, and I check my Wi-Fi, to see the networks, and it just kind of shows all the networks.
Yeah.
And one of the networks that comes up was FBI surveillance van 5G, right? I'm like, what is this? And so I pick up the laptop, and I walk. I'm like, where is it? And I go out to Harlem Avenue, and I've got the laptop in my hand, and I'm kind of like waving the laptop around. And all of a sudden, it just disappears. Gone, right? And I'm like, where are they? Did they see me? Like, are they? And then I spend the next.
You're losing it.
I'm going crazy. I'm losing it. I'm spending the next 7 or 8 hours analyzing everything I've done in the last 2 years.
In my head.
Am I being watched? Like, what are they? What could they have interest in? I have a confessional every week on this show. They know everything, you know. Yeah. But I'm like, what is this? What is this? I told the neighbor, you know. I go, look at this, you know.
Yeah. And he's what like, neighbor? The guy in mesh shorts?
No, not that guy. The heavyset guy who wears mesh shorts all year.
Yeah.
No, maybe they're watching him. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe he's.
But all of a sudden, I told my neighbor Rick, who's like right next door to me. I'm like, look at this. He's like, dude, you're wigging out. It's nothing to worry about. He's like, maybe it was them. And then I looked it up on the internet, right? Mm-hmm. And apparently, a lot of people near apartment complexes, all right, or teenagers, as a gag,
they do that.
Will name the Wi-Fi network something like that to deter anybody from trying to hack it or go near it.
You got pranked by a 14-year-old.
I guess, but it wigged me out for like the next day. I'm like, what is this?
Do you think the FBI would be using? I mean, they got their own gear.
There's a lot of articles on this, right?
But they don't need to use public Wi-Fi.
It's apparently this is a thing.
They have secure networks.
It's a thing, and if you Googled it on the internet, you can see all these stories of people that have experienced the same thing. And then there's all these theories of guys like, nope, they're hiding in plain sight. They'll do that, of course. There's restrictions. They have to identify themselves, you know. That they're out there somewhere.
I would have loved to have driven by and seen you wandering, holding the laptop in the air.
Right, smoking in my pajamas. The feds are out here.
While the feds are watching, what if they really were watching them? Look at this idiot.
Yeah. Right. But anyway, that was the big thing that happened.
You should get an FBI t-shirt, but it's like, remember that it's like free boob inspector?
Well, I understand. Yes, I do. You got any FBI free boob inspector shirts here? Going up to the lake with the kids, want to have a couple laughs.
I'm
going to
go hold my laptop up in the street. Right. I want to make sure I'm visible.
Check out this shirt. Federal boob inspector. How about that? Yeah. Anyway.
What a world.
What a world, man. Holy moly. I'm going to buy all you one. No, but I going back to like the reverse psychology of people wanting to name a network like that.
Yes.
Reminded me of the fact that my dad, when I was in high school, had we had a Buick LeSabre, but we had a Caprice Classic at one time.
Yeah,
and my dad had a buddy that was in the FBI, right? And somehow he procured one of those hats that said FBI, and he'd put it on the back of the back window of our car, right? And so whenever people saw our car parked, they thought it was a Fed, you know? And it was the same psychology. My dad was like, no one's going to mess with that car. Here's why. You know, like, now they're the thing to think of that it's a government automobile.
Yeah. So, now you can buy those on Amazon.
Exactly. Just like you can buy Chinese Jordans. You can probably buy Chinese Fed hats.
You can do whatever you want.
Let's do a quick... Yes, you can. Sure. It's a free country. Let's take a quick break. More Hoolies Hoolie after these.
If you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits. Jim represents first responders, and he formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He was an assistant state's attorney, and he was legal counsel to the Cook County Sheriff. As a judge, he presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm, 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. You can get a hold of Jim at 773-467-8000. That's 773-467-8000. Give him a call. He's an old pal.
Hi, I'm Patty Houlihan, and I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has changed and saved lives of millions. It has been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There's no more Irish thing you can do.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Welcome back. Yes, Mike, thank you.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Who sings this?
It's Rockwell.
Rockwell, yes.
That's correct.
Before the break.
Michael Jackson does that part.
Does he?
Yeah. Rockwell was the son of a famous record executive, and he got Michael Jackson to sing the chorus on this.
This was a jam.
Yeah.
I wonder if people that are being chased by the FBI listen to this in their car.
So this here, right here, this is Mike Jackson.
This is playing right now in President Trump's bedroom. He's smoking a cigar in a silk robe.
He's listening to this on a Walkman.
Staring at Twitter.
He's got a yellow waterproof Walkman.
He's lip syncing it. When I come home at night.
I love Rockwell.
Someone get
Rockwell on the horn.
Can we get Rockwell on the campaign trail, please? What if Trump started coming out to rallies with this? Oh, the redneck, right?
Yeah! Rockwell! We love Rockwell!
We love Rockwell!
I die for Rockwell!
Melania sings this part.
Somebody's watching me!
Putin sings his part.
Putin's playing Sin.
Putin's dressed like Devo with a flower pot on his head.
Yeah, exactly. That's good.
Yeah, that's very good.
Thank you for that, Mike.
Wow, that's good stuff. Well, it's comforting to know that the FBI is not watching you, Pat.
How do I know?
They have no reason to. You're a good guy. No.
I'm pretty straightforward.
You read the Bible every night.
Hey, I read the Bible. What y'all doing here?
No bad person has ever not read the Bible. What?
Have you ever seen Trump where there's a clip I saw of President Trump, like, he points at a Bible and he goes, nothing like the Bible, best book in the world.
Yeah, he's a big Bible advocate.
It's interesting. Bill, there's the sadness that's been going around my house is that the there will be no pools or recreational centers open this summer.
Same here with us. We're very sad about it.
When I first heard that, I was like, no, that can't be. And then slowly, each park district that I was kind of deterring to, once Forest Park, where that's the pool we go to, they sent out a release that was like, nope, not doing it this year. And I was like, what? I'm not. Because Charlotte's camp that she goes to, my daughter Charlotte, she's 10, she goes up to a camp in the Northwoods, Wisconsin every year. That got canceled. And she would go there for a month. Yeah. So that's like one of the biggest highlights of the year for her. She absolutely loves going up there. Mm-hmm. And that got canceled. So that was a real bummer. I was thinking, okay, well, I'll get some pool passes and I'll really commit to that and we'll become pool rats this summer.
Yep.
No go. Can't do it. Yeah. So,
is the wrestling canceled? Those wrestling matches you go to?
I don't know. The Berwyn Championship Wrestling?
Yeah.
I could look into that, but that's more spectator sport, you know?
Probably, you're talking about involved sports.
I got to get my kids involved. But Mikey was outside today playing Army Guys, and, you know, he's into it, and I've given myself, my kids, a little bit of a longer leash now.
Sure.
That things are starting to open up again. So it's nice for them to at least go out in the alley and kind of play with other kids a little bit.
Absolutely.
But, I got to find something for them to do this summer.
The alley? You let Mikey go in the alley?
Yeah.
I let my kids go in the alley.
Yes, I do.
And not by themselves.
You're pretty brave.
No, they're not. They're with other kids, you know? I'm tired of being a helicopter parent. You know, I'm not going to do it anymore. The only way you're going to get your kid, let your kids go out and experience and fall down and get beat up. And, you know, because if I just pamper them and try to look out for them all the time, they're just not going to grow as humans. You know what I mean?
You got to let them run with wolves.
Yeah, exactly. And that's pretty, as a parent, that's been the most difficult transition for me in the last few years. And it's even harder because my daughter wants, you know, a much longer leash. She's 10. She thinks she's 22. You know, she's trying to get into the TikTok
Hall of Fame.
Junior Hype House is where she's,
she's trying to get into the TikTok Junior Olympics.
Pretty much, you know. And here I am sitting here going, TikTok is, I go, TikTok, no, you know, I hate TikTok. And all of a sudden she's like, but these kids, there's kids that are millionaires on TikTok. It's achievable. And I'm going, no, you want to be a doctor. So I'm almost exhibiting the same sort of thing that I think every generation has gone through as a parent, you know, even as a kid. Like, you're trying to tell your kids, like, you should be an attorney or a doctor, you know? Don't make the silly decision I made of wanting to be an actor or a creator.
Yeah.
Look where we live! you know?
Yeah, look at my shoes.
Don't you want nice things someday?
Look at my white brandless shoes. They don't even have a brand on them.
Hey,
look at the countless trips we make to Walmart. Don't you want to go to Saks Fifth Avenue or something?
Saks Fifth Avenue?
I don't know.
Bloomingdale's?
Are they still even open?
I think they're closing, but that's always a store that struck
me. Don't you want to go to Neiman Marcus?
Sound like a guy from a movie in the 40s. Yeah.
What are you going to do with your life? Don't you want to go to Neiman Marcus or Saks Fifth Avenue or something? You're just a Walmart.
Just a Walmart.
You're just 100% Walmart.
Is that like a line from A Miracle on 34th Street that the guy is yelling
Jimmy
at?
Jimmy Stewart saying it.
Santa Claus?
Don't you want to go to Neiman Marcus?
Yeah.
Oh, what's wrong with you? Oh, you should go to a Neiman Marcus.
That doesn't sound like Jimmy Stewart.
No. Great at top.
What a lunatic are you? I don't know who that is.
No. So that's sort of what I'm down about is where I'm trying to figure out something to do with the kids this summer. And, it's proving to be more and more difficult. I mean, everywhere I go, there's a new hurdle.
Expand your mind.
How is the eBay thing going for you guys?
It's completely died.
I did not.
Well, you sold your eBay.
Billy
item,
sold his speakers. Yep. Billy sold his speakers.
Very quickly. 7 days it was gone.
How much did you make?
Great question. Okay, because I didn't ask for, I said that I would cover shipping and handling.
Okay, that's included.
My lowest bid that I allowed, the lowest bid would be $114.
Correct.
Max bid was $150. Retail, they go for about $150 anyways, brand new. Anywhere from $150 to $175.
Crunch the numbers, Billy.
Did the numbers, looked at it this way, was like, if I could get $100, I'd be happy. Mm-hmm. I got 133.
Ooh.
Paid eBay their $13 fee.
That's sure. 120.
And then paid the, you know, $15 on shipping and
105.
The rest is a $105, sir.
Nice.
Profit. And then, you know, I had to set up the whole PayPal thing or anything, but it transferred right into my bank account.
You're gonna be hooked. You're gonna be selling everything.
So I'm like,
eBay now.
Oh, this isn't
what
bad.
What are you gonna sell next?
Bill, you asked Clay, you asked me about the eBay thing and with my daughter. We were she's trying to get a phone for herself. Still yes. driving me nuts every day. The phone. Mm. I need a phone. And she's nuts with the TikTok, and I'm trying to regulate that. She's trying to get Snapchat. I'm trying to block that. She's trying to get on Instagram. I'm trying to, she'll create a fake email address. It's like, she's very tech savvy, and you have to catch her. And I'm like, this is nuts. Mm-hmm. How do I regulate? You know, I'm trying to parent in the real world. Now I got to parent in cyberspace.
Yep.
And it's twice as hard, you know? And she's
scary up there.
She's a lot more tech savvy than I can figure out for myself sometimes, and that worries me.
Yes.
But
take your computer class.
I better get me
to them computer classes. Things are looking good after COVID.
My daughter's messing around with this TikTok. I better get to a computer class. Right.
Exactly.
There's probably a class out there somewhere for parents. Yeah. It teaches them how social media, Facebook, like how to keep up, how to block stuff.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But that's kind of what's going on. But we switched from eBay. She was trying to sell some stuff of her old dolls. I touched on that a couple episodes back. And none of it has gotten any bids. She was lucky with one item, and now it's kind of gone dark and silent. And so we've moved on to phase two of achieving the phone, which is now a point system. And good deeds and chores done around the house equal certain amounts of points. Mm. No talking back.
Can points be deducted?
Points are absolutely deducted for poor behavior and talking back.
Nice.
So we'll see. And she's adhered to it and done pretty well with that thus far. So that's working. So we'll see. We're on the point.
The hope is that she when she gets the phone, eventually
she's got to get to 1,000 points.
When she gets to 1,000 points. Mm-hmm. What's the new point system? A car?
Yeah, eventually. I'm sure that's how things will matriculate. You know? You want a Cadillac.
I want TikTok and I want a Cadillac.
So does everybody.
Exactly.
At least you understand Cadillacs.
A little bit.
I mean, you understand the luxury aspect.
And right, you know?
As far as how to install a Cadillac convertibler or anything like that.
Whoa.
Catalytic converter on
That's
a Cadillac.
That's correct, catalytic. Yeah. Like no Catalyst.
Dice. Little known fact, Jimmy Stewart bought a Cadillac at a Neiman Marcus once. It's a nutty story.
What do you mean there's no spare tire? I went to Neiman Marcus to get a Cadillac. There's a suit in the trunk.
That was a little bit higher.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to work on my Jimmy Stewart. If you've enjoyed this program. Which you have, because it's ever so silly. Again, you can find archived episodes if you go to Hooli's Hooli Show on iTunes.
Yeah.
Or you can go search for us at hibernianradio.org and find all the archived episodes, every single one we've ever done.
Indeed.
About 3 years worth, maybe more. How many years are we going up on now?
Five.
5 years? Holy moly. 5 years of
actually,
ramblings.
It'll be six in October, sir.
All right. Well, you can find every episode we've ever done. I want to remind our folks again that the show is presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. It's the best oatmeal in the land.
Absolutely.
And personal injury attorney Jim McGing. If you have any sort of accidents this summer, give him a call and he'll be able to guide you. I do not think the FBI is watching me.
This song's about
that. But in the event that they are, Clay suggested that we play a little Rolling Stones Fingerprint File.
Why not?
A song about surveillance.
Right. Until next week.
Bye.
Bye.